days of the prophets and the preachers of old, it is and has been God who in his desire to communicate and then to seek for us to be reconciled with him, that God, through men whom he had chosen, reached out to people with a purpose of when the opportunity came knocking on the doors of a man's heart. It was he, God, whose desire was for them as a people to begin to respond to him through the primary ingredient in our lives, which rested in the power of the measure of faith that God from the beginning placed in us. Just tickle the fancy of your faith. Just stir the coals of a little bit of desire and a hunger. And that's all God was looking for, to take you further, deeper, higher, and greater. What I'm saying to you today is that as the love of God and the mercy of God would begin to reach out to whom God set it upon, all that the recipient in turn in their lives would have to do was to open up their hearts and their minds in order for the simple power of faith to become activated. It was just that easy. Somebody says, it's like Brother Holland said in that little, in the onset of our service about the prayer coordinator. Do you want to come to Jerusalem to receive this power from on high? No. Would you like to come to Jerusalem to receive this power from on high? Yeah. Then follow me. And it just became activated. You see, first and foremost, it is a soul's trust and their confidence in the one doing the calling or the bidding that was necessary. I have to believe in who I'm following, amen? I have to trust the man that's calling me. I have to believe that he's really got something for me. For the measure of faith within to begin to flow, this is necessary. What would you do? Really, what would you do? Stranger walks up to you. Yeah, you know, brother, you're going to get it again. A stranger walks up to you and says, come here. Come here. What do you want? Don't matter. Come here. I don't know you. Well, come on. What are you sitting there for? Let's go. Where are we going? You understand? He's going to trust me. You going to trust me this time? At least move a seat over or something. Let's go. Come on. We're heading this way. Thank you. There we go. Yeah, you got to trust me. He ain't some stranger going to walk up to you. I knock on Pudgy's door here, you know. He opens the door and he let me in. I was a stranger and you took me in. You got to have confidence that who you're going to follow, who you're putting your faith in, even if it's just a measure, is somebody you're going to willing to let activate that faith inside of you. Simply said, God's plan is, it was, and has always required an act. And then the action of faith. Amen. Yours. In view of your trusting in and believing and finally having a willingness, in your life to respond. Thank you, brother. I'm willing to respond. I'm willing to follow. Think about this, church. Go back to the times of Jesus in his earthly ministry when he began to call upon the 12. Follow me. Right. Follow me. Well, I got to go fishing. I'm going to make you a fisherman. Follow me. And they began to follow him. Something about Jesus Christ caused these people, these men, to want to follow him. Something in our hearts tells us this is right. This is what I'm feeling, is what I want to do. It's very, very simple. In and through the power of faith, it would be God and his power who would then bestow upon them, who open up their minds and hearts to his God's plan, whatever it was that they in turn would reach for in their bid to attain. Meaning, any form of a height or a depth in God in the realm of the power of faith that they desired to allow God to activate within them, it would. Well, I want to go to the highest heights. Come on. I want to go to this direction. Come on. God, I really want to feel that power in my heart that they feel. Then you can have it. Whatever your faith would activate in your heart is what you can attain. Oh, I don't think I can do that. Then sit on the pew and just rot. You know, I don't think that God would touch me that way. Well, then just wait. You know, many, many people, and it's kind of funny. The Bible says desire the best gifts. You know, talk about the gifts of the Spirit. But I've heard of people, they say, God, use me in the gift of tongues or the gift of interpretation in tongues. God, give me that spirit of wisdom or of discerning of spirits. And sometimes when it comes, all right, you ready? God's going to give you the interpretation of that message. And just put your hand over your face. Hey, I said God's going to give you. You know what he did that for? Well, what if it wasn't God? I heard it coming in my mind as they're talking in tongues. It was just like they're talking to me in English. And suddenly my insides and the doodads started flying. And I went, use her. Pick her if that's who's going to. I know what I'm talking about. I did it myself. God, I really want to be used in the gift of tongues or the interpretation thereof. And we're in a service. And God started moving. And sure enough, the gift of tongues would come forward. And I heard exactly what you were saying. And it would all go quiet. If I'll know it's you if you use her right there. Yeah. And so lo and behold, what would she do? She started giving the same message I had in my heart. And it went, oh, it could have been me. And sure enough, again, and another time in my life, oh, God, please. Are you catching this yet? How high do you want to climb? How far are you willing to go? God, use me. And so sure enough, somebody else gave a message in tongues. And in that Sunday night service, sure enough, I heard exactly what they were saying. And when the holy hush came and everybody went quiet, I said, pick him and I'll know it's you. And oh, goodness sake. He gave that same message in tongues, the interpretation thereof, that I was about to give. Now let me throw you something, and this is kind of a curveball. It was years before God came walking my path again. Because you ask me. I thought you said you trust me. And so I would want to do that, but he would just bypass me. And I think, well, what's wrong with me? You won't respond. I'll give it to you. You want to go higher in God, and yet you don't respond. Amen? Matthew 21, verse 22. Matthew 21, 22, the Bible says, I believe it's the words of Jesus, if your Bible's in red, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. What's that? Now faith. Well, I can't see it. I presently don't possess it. I don't understand it. But through God, one day, by faith, I'm going to have it. I will attain it. I can access it. Give me an example, preacher. How about Elijah and Elisha? What was Elisha's prayer? Lord, I want a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And he went and he told Elijah this. And Elijah says, well, if you see me go, follow me now. If you see me go, ascend in the clouds, then it'll be there. Well, tell you what, you stay here. You want to come along? Okay, come on. Okay, now I want you to stay here and don't follow me. Come on, hurry, you got to be quick.
Let's go.
Now you can follow me. All right, what are you following me for? I told you could tarry. Well, because master, you know, if you disappear, then I don't want to miss it. Come here and stop right there. Go ahead, sit down for just a minute. All right, so I'm going to make another journey here. And when I go, you look tired. Why don't you just stay here? Okay. Come on. So, where are you following me again? And this was Elijah and Elisha. I'll let you go back to your seat. Okay, you want to keep following me? Okay. What was Elisha doing? I told you what I wanted. Are you with me? oh, that was so deep. That was a kidney punch and you didn't even get it. You really want it? then you're going to pursue after it. And so Elisha went after everywhere Elijah was until the day he was taken up, received up. And you know what Elisha got, ladies and gentlemen? A double portion. I can't see it. I don't know how to possess it. I don't even understand how it's going to happen, but I am going to attain it. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get my healing. Something's going to happen in God. God is going to answer my prayer. Bless God, my kid will be saved. Well, yeah, we'll keep praying for nothing in the air. Yeah, I'll keep praying, all right, but I ain't in the air. I'm praying to God. And sooner or later, the time is going to come when the fruition of your answered prayer will come to pass. Simple, yet powerful faith. Well, it is simple. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is simple. But if you in your life, church, in this 21st century as a Holy Ghost-filled believer or seeker, would only take a hold of this message that I'm sharing with you this afternoon, what I want to impart to you, I want to take you to a higher plane. What I'm talking to you about today will be something that will forever prove to be and become that which changes your life. As it's you now who will enter into a dimension with God to where something so simple as the power of your faith will open the door to an opportunity in your life to where it will become you who experiences in God the miraculous. You wouldn't believe this. Could you imagine being Peter? In the book of Acts? Could you imagine? Go with me, guys. He walked along. This guy's a cripple. Right here. And Peter's shadow crossed him. The next thing you know, he was jumping and shouting in the Holy Ghost. Don't just sit there. He was jumping and shouting in the Holy Ghost. Come on, David. All right. Look at that. He was crippled. It was just the shadow of Peter. You know, we think this is cool. You know, Bible stories? Oh, it was good back then. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thanks a lot. Anyhow. Hey, Lord. Uh-huh. Is it you?
What? Yes.
Well, if it is you, then bid me come.
What did you say?
That's water. This is a boat. What did Peter do? He got out of that boat and he walked on the water to Jesus. How high do you want to fly, honey? How deep in God do you want to go? How bad do you want your promise? Wherein lies the desire of your miraculous? Hallelujah. I want you to take a moment with me now in your minds. Today, as we journey back to the days of Noah. In Noah's day, it did not rain as we know rain today. No, it didn't. The Bible says God watered the ground with the dew thereof. And so for God now to speak to Noah in his bid to warn him of his God's pending judgment, raining for 40 days and 40 nights, calling for Noah to build an ark. A massive boat through which he, God, would save those who entered into it along with the animals that he told Noah he was going to call. To anyone in their right mind would have thought that such a request was absolutely crazy. What? Build an ark. And God told them all the dimensions. Look in Genesis, you'll find it. You're going to cause it to rain and to fall for how long? Question. Sure, what's that? Noah? What's rain? Just hang on. Are you with me? That's nuts. That's crazy. Build a boat, and you're going to rain 40 days and 40 nights, and you're going to destroy everybody who don't get into that ark. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. A perceived simple request, a monumental task, one that was ordered by God, one which, understand it or not, which Noah did, the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 7, not only trusted God in it, but the Bible says that Noah moved with fear, preparing the ark to the saving of his house. Honey, my sons and daughters-in-laws, this is what God's called for me to do, for the day's coming when God is going to destroy this world with water that we know of. He's going to do what? Well, see, I now, watch this. This is called Participation Sunday. So, you want to help me build the ark? I'll let you sit there if you just nod your head. Okay. Do you want to help me build the ark? Princess Maya, would you like to help me build the ark? Okay, thank you, thank you. And Sister Mary Beth, help me build the ark? Mm-hmm. I can't prove this to you biblically. I believe with all my heart that the inspiration and the faith that Noah had in his God, the people also trusted in Noah for a while. And so people got on board. They started joining in. I believe that they helped him. Some people helped him build that very ark. They helped him build this massive boat. He told them what God was going to do. Maybe it was God starting to call some of the animals. What would you do? Here we are sitting here and we're helping Noah build the ark. And all of a sudden through the vestibule doors comes two of every kind. They start walking in and going on to the ark. And you're thinking you got a neck problem. No, you're watching like this is out of the world, of this world. But sadly, the Bible says only eight were saved from the waters of the flood. You know why? Oh, my goodness, I can go nuts with this one, sister. They quit believing. Since the fathers fell asleep, he said that he was going to return. This is the 21st century. And so they, maybe one by one, or you really believe what Noah said? Well, I don't know. You really think God's going to rain? Look at this. He's building this in the middle of nowhere. And suddenly, you know, the water's going to come and, you know, drown everybody. Yeah, I think it's kind of crazy too. Yeah, well, me too. Let's leave. But as a result of Noah's following after and by his believing what God had said, Noah, the Bible says, became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Ready? Just do it. Build the ark. Follow my plan. It's one that'll take you some time to complete. Simple in its request, but powerful shall it be as a result. Just trust God. Start praying right now. Why don't you tell God you're sorry? Get ready and get down in that watery grave in baptism in Jesus' name. God said his promise is the Holy Ghost. I haven't got it yet. Keep digging. Keep pushing. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep talking. Keep trusting. It's on its way. Abraham, leave your family, your friends, your country. As I, your God, want to take you and walk you, take you from this place. And all that you know, and I'm going to take you to a place where I'm going to let you receive an inheritance from me. In the end, if you choose to step out in faith, that is, to follow me. Could you imagine the conference? Mom, yeah, Dad, my friends, I've gathered you here today. Well, this is what God's calling for me to do, and he wants me, and he goes on to his story. And maybe his dad stands up and says, have you lost your mind? Are you kidding me? His mother says, where are you going? Well, I don't know, wherever God tells me to go. Yeah, well, that's where. Well, surely you can't. I mean, you won't do this. No, I'm sorry, Mom, Dad, my friends today. Yes, I'm going to do it for by faith, my faith. I believe God is going to be the one that's going to take me someplace because God's doing the calling. And Abraham went towards that place that God had promised, and he led him to, hey, isn't that simple? Simple? They've left me. Simple? Uh-huh. Thank you. Well, let's fast forward to the time when Abraham and Lot were standing about and talking about separating, and Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And as Abraham and Sarah, on the other hand, they stood there as he was going his way, he chose the first way, towards a barren land of rocks and desert.
to a place that God doesn't promise you. Sagebrush. Right, honey. Mm-hmm. But by faith, they were still willing to move forward towards a place that God had promised. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 11 and 10 that Abraham was he who looked for a city which had a foundations whose builder and maker was God. Amen. We're going to find the city. Remember, I shared this one at least 13 times with you in 19 years easily. You're going to Kelowna to be pillars. I'm a sinner, just saved by grace, baptized, Holy Ghost filled, of course, repented of my sins. Going to Kelowna be pillars. Out of a baptismal tank to a pillar. What's a pillar? I don't know. We're just going to go to Kelowna and be one. All right, okay. Well, how about Moses? In a time along with thousands of people, they were holed up against the Red Sea as they watched as Pharaoh and his army with a vengeance pursued them, and God speaks to Moses. Moses, the enemy that you see here today, you'll see no longer anymore forever. Now raise your staff over that sea, the Red Sea, and it'll part. Excuse me, Lord. What? You want me to do... can't you see that these, the Egyptians are coming here, they're going to make mincemeat out of this. And God says, just do it. Trust me as your God. And so as Moses, ladies and gentlemen, raised his staff over the Red Sea, to the bewilderment of all who stood before him, the Red Sea parted. And in a short time, hear me now, 2.5 million people, more than that, God's people, walked on dry land. I could have just imagined watching the winds blowing in Moses' hair, you know, and the waves are going, the seas is going like this. Now, it wasn't, let's go American for a minute, okay, it wasn't a creek. You know, creek, we say creek in Canada. Anyway, it wasn't a creek. It wasn't like, okay, single file, everybody, 13 years later, we'll all cross. He parted it. Simple? Yes. Powerful? Yes. Faith? You better believe it was faith. Faith got him across that sea. What in the Bible we just said? Hey, here come the Egyptians. We can do this too. Oh, yeah, and God wanted to have some fun. He started knocking the wheels off their chariots. They got stuck in the mud. And he said, Moses, put your rod down, as they got on the other side. And all the people going like this, they're just trembling, and they walked. What did God tell him? You do what I tell you, you ain't never going to see your enemy no more. Fire. Okay, ready? Joshua. You and your men are going to march around the walls of Jericho once a day for 6 days. The seventh day after that, seventh time, you and your men are going to shout, blow your trumpets and your ram's horn, and the wall of the city of Jericho is going to fall down flat. Out of air. Hey, Lord, just one thing. Can you explain this to my men? They're going to think that I'm absolutely crazy. What a plan, what an idea. I mean, how simple is that? Let's march around the walls of Jericho. That's one time. Don't say anything, anybody. Anybody who wants to shout with me when I tell you to shout, you can do that. The rest of you can sit there like bumps in a log. Anyhow, and we do this for the sixth time. All right, we all know the story, right? So 5, 6, 7, and Joshua says, shout! And that wall came tumbling down. I don't know what the men were looking like. Oh, my goodness. Would you look at that? Thanks, team. That wasn't pre-said. It was just something I thought about. Atta girl, Emily. Anyhow, God, I got to help you, Pat. I got to help you. That's me, we're pals. Anyhow, I was seeking for the Holy Ghost. You know, people are looking for the Holy Ghost. And so we're in this service, you know, going to get baptized real quick here. And I'm thinking, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be lost. And I said, You heard this before, right, princess? Yeah, I knew that. Okay, fine, anyhow. So, you never did. Revelation 21:8. Anyhow, so I'm saying, here I am in front of the church, Brother Mark. God! I was acting like a crazy man. I want the Holy Ghost! God! I mean, it's your promise! I'm leaking all of you. And it wasn't gibberish. I started talking in tongues, brother. You know what I did? You better believe it. I went, what in my mind? What is that? And God's up in heaven going, hey, who want to give me a Holy Ghost and you cover your mouth? And my brother's next to me. Oh, Tim, oh, come on. Oh, that's God. Hey, come on, get your hands up. Come on. Just worship. Put it both of them. What are you, half praise or something? Come on, yeah, that's it, that's God. That's God, let it out. You know what I did? I started talking in tongues. Ain't nobody had tongues. And then my wife gets baptized, brother. She comes out of the baptismal tank. We're making eye contact, just like you and me.
Right.
Anyhow, so she comes out of the baptismal tank, you know, Maya. Oh, sorry, Princess Maya. And as she comes out of that tank, she's talking in tongues, looking right at me. And I'm thinking, oh, man. Oh, my. What? Stay where you are. You're safe with me. Watch him, Steph. Okay. What was that? Faith. It's simple. You asked me to give you something, and now you want to pull the card I don't know? Sorry, anyhow. I better move on. We'll be here till tomorrow. Joshua, the faith that was in Joshua's heart, the faith that Joshua no doubt placed into the hearts and minds like I'm trying to do today, the men who were with him, the results, ladies and gentlemen, were nothing less than powerful. Think about it. You go shouting sometimes, they'll probably just call the cops, not in the wall falling down. Last one, ready? Ready, last one. New Testament, I got to share. After Jesus spit on the clay and he took this muck and he stuck it in the eyes of the blind man, Jesus then tells this blind guy to go and wash in the pool of Siloam in order to be healed of his blindness. Okay, I've touched you, right? Yeah, that a boy. He's catching on. I want you to go to the pool. Right. Okay, that's simple, right? Just go wash. I'm not asking you to do anything big. Did I say go down to Walmart and look for the best deal you can get in Jerusalem or what? No. Go down. It's very, very simple. Might be something simple to you. You can see. But it must have taken the sheer power of faith to believe enough in Jesus that the blind man actually began to make his way to the pool. Can I get stupidity and reason? All right. So you spit in the ground. You make clay out of your spit, you wipe it on my eyes, and now instead of instantaneously healing me, now you want me to get to this pool so I can get come back by faith and in my heart, you know, and I'm going to be able to see. Yes, that's exactly what I want you to do. Kidney punch. That's exactly what I want you to do. And now my thoughts and my directions of this service that remains. What I'm talking to you about today, it's going to turn towards you. Put your hand right there, brother. Let's just feel the pain. I've often wondered why it is when you or I go to the doctors and upon their diagnosing our problem, when it's they who call for us to take pills the size of a quarter or to fill a prescription and to drink some medicine that all but makes you gag and you have to plug your nose when you drink it. Or you visit a dietitian and they ask you, I want you to go on a strict, sugarless, bland, disgusting food diet. And all the while, your friends and your family, they're sitting there like a bunch of pumpkins, and they're eating whatever it is they want to eat. But in our perception, okay, hang on, honey. Okay, give me the medicine quick. Oh, that's disgusting. What do you mean? I can't even have a Twinkie? No. Can I have one of those chips that you're eating? Just one. No, you're on that diet. on our perception of getting better, we just do it. Can I get a witness in the house here? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right. Savannah does. She starts crying. She's hungry now. So we do it. Whatever they tell us to do, no complaining. I will not do that. Oh, it's bad. Anyhow, when it comes to God, to the things of God, in view of you one day being able to call heaven your home, and when it comes to considers you, the view of the sacrifices God calls for you to do, or, ready? You refuse to do them. Don't ask me. I ain't doing that. And again, when it's God who asks you to come to the front of the church, maybe to the altar, and begin to talk to him and ask God to forgive you, and beyond that, when you get baptized in water in Jesus' name, no matter how simple it might appear on the outside, on the inside, as a result of pride, doubt, simply your fears, it is you who backs away and who refuses to submit yourself to such a request, when all the while, if it was only you in such a time that I'm talking about, submitted yourself and your life to God and view a simple request. Just ask him to forgive you. Open your mouth and say sorry. Just ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He can't take your mind. Ready? I've had people say, well, I'm praying in my mind. What are you praying about? The banana split that I'm going to get after church. No. You need to pray for the Holy Ghost. Open your mouth and pray. If you just did it, you submitted yourself and your life to God in a simple request, what you would discover is by your act of faith in believing in God that God would meet you, and in turn it would be the one that God would give you that power to forever change your life. Let me tell you, when I put my hands up that second time, honey, and I started talking in tongues, I wasn't looking for an off pump. I wasn't looking for the tap to shut it down. I was looking for the tap to turn it back on. In almost, if not all, the miracles that Jesus did in his earthly ministry, Jesus' requests many times were very simple and it's easy to do. But they who in their lives who responded to the measure of faith that was resident within them were the ones who in their lives came to discover a power and God's ability to be able to do exactly what they wanted him to do. And what happens is this is for you now. Whatever it is you want God to do for you, just release that little bit of a measure of faith in your life, and God in turn will give it to you. How do you know? Because now faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Luke chapter 11, 9 and 10. Very quickly turn there. Here's a real tough scripture, Brother Wilson. I mean, this is a logger. Luke chapter 11, 9 through 10. He's already got it up on the wall. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone. The Wrights and the Wards. Only the Wilsons and the Hollands. Yeah. Only James and his dad. No. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Okay, then. Fine. How come when I ask God for some things, thanks for reckoning that earlier, Brother Holland. Thank you very much. When I ask God for something, nothing happens. Ha! Your faith. Why? Because just maybe when you asked in your heart, you never really believed in faith enough that God was going to give it to you. Yeah. Maybe when you were asking God for something or deliver you or whatever it was you're asking for in such a time was not the will of God for you at that time. Let me throw this at you. I hope this helps. I'll let you out by 11 o'clock. It's only 7:45 already. Sometimes we pray. Now listen to this. This is really powerful. God, can you give me lots of money? I mean lots. I want to be able to spend all the money I can. I want to be rich. I want to buy the best car and the best Dodge and the best of everything. I want to live in a fancy house and buy nice furniture. Okay, ready? Bombshell. We haven't seen those folks for how long now? It's been like 3 months since they came back. Ring, 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 ring. Hey, how you doing, bro? Church? Who needs money's gone, man. Look, I got all this money. I got all this overtime. I don't need God. One day I will. Well, until then, I am living it rich, Click. If God gave you everything you ever wanted, sometimes when you're a spoiled little brat, we're living in an entitled generation. Kids are entitled. Listen, Dad, I'm 7 years old. I need an iPad. Mom, I just turned 13. I want a free internet Wi-Fi, iPhone 8 Plus, or a Samsung, the highest model. I was in my 30s before I got this little tiny thing. Hello, hang on. Got to pull the antenna up. Okay, go ahead. No, okay. Yeah, gotcha there. Then I had one. I'm not even being funny, but I am.
Yeah, hello. This phone? I don't know. This is a telephone and everything.
Now? Hey, Siri. Hey, Siri. But even Siri, you don't want to talk to me. How can I help you, Kim?
Tell me what.
How good looking I am.
There was a difference here. You see, if God gave you everything you wanted. Now, I'm not talking about God won't
meet your needs.
Oh, he
might not give you all your wants, but he will meet your needs. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. It's simple. God, we have a need. My baby's sick. God, our cupboards are empty. There's no gas in the truck or car to get us to work. Ring, ring. Hello. Hey, we're just come up and stop by and visit you, if that's okay. Well, we're 35 minutes out of town and all. Yeah, I know, but I wanted to give you $300 so you can get some groceries and gas.
Stephanie, record this.
What? Who did you just ask? Is it any of your concern? All right, I'll stop. How come you don't get prayed for? How come you don't ask God in audible words to forgive you? I mean, it's that simple. Because when God does, hear me now, when God does unleash the power of forgiveness, you want to be a witness, you put your hand up, just be a bunch of Baptists, doesn't matter to me. But when God forgives you, there is nothing like the power of forgiveness. I feel forgiven. I can walk out of here. I don't have to be condemned. I can square my shoulders. Hey, what's up with you? God forgave me. Yeah, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells me so. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Are you willing right now and here to start seeking and ask God to fill you? Don't look at me. Don't single me out like that evangelist did to somebody. Anyhow. But if you remember, the results, ladies and gentlemen, of your faith is very, very simple. The Bible says, moving quickly, Jesus, as he was speaking to his disciples, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whomsoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart, but believe." That's Mark 11:23. All those things, what he saith, shall come to pass, and he shall have whatever he wants. Okay, real life, today. There are many who in their lives, ladies and gentlemen, who come against mountains of fear, mountains of doubt, mountains of unbelief, mountains of anxiety, mountains that they say you face every day. And instead of facing them off, taking these mountains down, instead it's you who so many times who fails to understand and that the power of faith through the power of your faith, as far as God is concerned, would remove every one of them. I said, go! Y'all thought it was nuts when I said I opened my door in the middle of the summertime and screamed at the devil and kicked him out. Get out. The neighbor next door is probably going, honey, 999. He's gone nuts. No. See, answering our needs, answering our prayers, it's that simple. It's simple in God's desire to do these things for you, and God will in turn change you. Could you imagine walking in the door? You kick the door open, brother, and you go, Mom, Dad, honey, whoever it is you're talking to, you're not going to believe this. I prayed. No. Yeah, I prayed, and I asked God to forgive me, and I asked God to answer this prayer. Wow. Yeah. And you know what? God did it. I got baptized in Jesus' name. I come up out of that water. Wow. That's ready to take on the whole world. It's that simple. The results are powerful. All it took was you to open up your heart and mind in that measure of faith. You see, now faith is. It's easy. As we round the corner, Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It's the Apostle Paul who writes, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. But what about, ready? Here it comes. Ready? You sitting down? Thanks. Anyhow, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. Here it comes. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power of whose? God's, right? But your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that's what I'm talking to you about this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Simple yet powerful faith, yours. I wonder today, anybody here ready for God to provide an answer to respond to your call? Why don't you stand with me right now? Just begin talking to God in your mind. Maybe you've been struggling with something in your life and you've really been waiting for an answer. You know, maybe there's something you really want God to do and you're afraid to tell anybody else about it. But you know what? A simple request, a powerful reply from God through you is one to help activate that power of faith that's resident in you. The action of your release.